Hello, homies. Would you like to get your next order of homeopathic remedies for free? Then sign up to become an affiliate of Eugenie Kruger Homeopathy by visiting eugeniekruger.com/affiliates. You will receive an affiliate code, which you can give to your friends and family. They can then use your code when they purchase products at eugeniekruger.com and they will receive 5% off their first order. The best part is that you will receive 5% off whatever they purchase through our site for their first year. This will go as a store credit on your account. So when you're ready to stock up on our amazing remedies and other products, your credit will be sitting there waiting for you. How amazing is that? So check out www.eugeniekruger.com/affiliates. Right now in Australia, the state of Victoria is having their elections until 26 November. Victorians have been through some of the longest lockdowns, restrictions, and mandates in the world, all because medical authorities would not allow proven natural prevention and treatment options to be used against COVID. Don't allow this to happen again. For freedom, prosperity and health, vote one for Dr. Isaac Golden and the Health Australia Party team. To find out more, listen to episode 126 of this podcast or visit www.healthaustraliaparty.com.au. Hello everyone, Eugenie here. Today we chat with homeopath and pharmacist Barbara Roberts, all the way from New Zealand. She has a very unique skill set with being able to work in these very two different jobs, you know, as a pharmacist and also as a homeopath. And she shares with us how she's able to do this and also how she's able to use these skills to help her own family. And she has some wonderful stories that she's sharing with us today. We had a little bit of trouble with her internet connection, so I do apologize. There are a couple of gaps here and there. Now, Barbara has an amazing blog on her website, and I'll be sure to link that in the show notes. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout podcast, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now, your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangouts. Today, we are hanging out with homeopath and pharmacist Barbara Roberts, all the way in New Zealand. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you for having me, Eugenie.
It's such a pleasure. Now, you have got a very interesting resume with being a pharmacist and a homeopath. Please give us the rundown on how this all came about.
Well, I was really lucky. I grew up with homeopathy. My mother was converted when I was about 6 months old, and my dad slipped down the stairs holding me, and I had quite a large bruise on my head. And she gave me some arnica and watched the bruising go down. And that was her wanting to learn more about homeopathy and how it worked. And we grew up using it for colds, for injuries, for pretty much everything. We hardly had pharmaceutical medication at all. So it was probably more of a surprise to her than anything. When I, at the end of high school, I went and went to pharmacy school. So moving away from the homeopathy side of things and into the conventional and drug world.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you came to homeopathy?
So I did my pharmacy degree, and I'm moved up north here where I am now from Kerikeri to do my internship here of working under supervision. And we were up here for a little bit, and then I moved back to Auckland. And I'm a bit of a learning junkie. I like to find out more, and which is another reason why being a homeopath is so great, because there's always stuff to learn. I did a short course on homeopathy through Naturapharm, and I wanted to learn more. So I enrolled in a one-year foundation course at what was then the Bay of Plenty College of Homeopathy. And rolled at the end of that foundation year, enrolled again and completed the diploma. And it took me about 6 years to finish the four-year diploma. I had two children and moved cities twice in that time. Mm-hmm. It was one of the best things I've done, and I really love being a homeopath.
Wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because obviously the methodologies and the way of thinking and prescribing are polar opposites. So how are you managing to do this? Like, you can be very well left brain, right brain integrated, or, you know, have some magic powers, because it seems there's, you know, two such opposing worlds, but you are managing to do both of them. How do you do that?
It's I liken it to Edward de Bono's hat theory, that it's like taking off one hat and putting on a different one. I do really like the integrative approach to pharmacy, where you are able to use not only drugs, but nutrition and lifestyle changes, as well as homeopathy and alternative medicine. But when I'm working as a pharmacist, I'm firmly in my drug hat with, this is what condition you have, and therefore these are the things you can use to treat it. And I can switch, and when people ask me questions, or I can suggest different things. And I certainly use homeopathy in when I'm working in the pharmacy as well, and I'll make suggestions and talk to people about how it works and what sort of things to look at. But it is a completely different hat. When I'm at work as a pharmacist, I'm drugs and lifestyle intervention and things, and less homeopathy. And when I'm working as a homeopath in my clinic, it's all about finding the similar, finding that remedy that describes what's going on for that person, as well as looking at nutrition and lifestyle and everything else that's going on.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the advantage that you would have is, quite often as homeopaths, clients come to see us with a huge list of pharmaceutical medication that they're on. And sometimes when they're giving you symptoms that they're experiencing, actually a lot of those symptoms are side effects of the drugs that they're on. So I guess if somebody comes into you with that list, you're automatically going to know, well, actually that's a side effect of the drug. It's probably not your own unique symptom. It's probably just a pharmaceutical indication. So that's a very good benefit. Do you also use homeopathy to treat side effects of medications, or do you use the two alongside for your clients?
Yes, I do use it to treat side effects, both sort of in a this using the particular drug in potency. For example, I have a current client on an antidepressant who is having side effects related to that antidepressant, and she's not ready to step off that. She's not feeling like she's in a safe place where she wants to get off her medication. She'd like to in the long term, but we're just using that remedy itself in a homeopathic potency to help with the side effects, and that is helping. It's not fixing everything, but it's definitely making it more bearable day to day.
I have a couple of clients who are on antidepressants, pharmaceutical antidepressants as well, and then using the homeopathic remedy made of those drugs alongside has been so helpful, and also for clients who are coming off their pharmaceutical medication with the help of their doctor, not on my advice, over their doctor's advice, where previously they've tried this and then they would get brain zaps and all sorts of side effects from trying to wean off it. When they've used the homeopathics alongside, they haven't had any of those effects, so it's amazing. And I thought I would quickly pipe up, because this podcast is created for the general public. We talk about remedies made from the drugs themselves. This might be new information to a lot of people. So I wonder, could you maybe tell something about, you know, how we make our remedies and how we're able to make homeopathic remedies from various drugs?
Absolutely. So as you know, Eugenie, homeopathic remedies come from a variety of animals, plants, minerals, and we have we can make them from anything. In fact, some of our best remedies are from poisons, and that you cannot use. So when we make a remedy, you are diluting it and then potentizing it. So to give that energy, I guess, from that substance into the remedy. And so when we're using a drug remedy, we're taking the substance, the drug itself, and then sending it to a homeopathic pharmacy if your homeopath doesn't do it themselves, and they will grind that drug up and potentize it and do that depending a successive number of times. So if it's a 6C remedy, that's one part of the drug to 99 parts of lactose or liquid, and do that six times. So it's a dilution. There is no active ingredient of the drug in there, which makes it safe to take.
Exactly.
And it's not going to affect that drug, but it will help your body recognize the side effects that you're getting and deal with them.
Yeah. See, I thought we should clarify that because it's such a good point to make, and a lot of our listeners are not going to be aware of this. So that's actually really great. I'm wondering, Barbara, are you able to give us some examples of cases that you regularly see in your clinic, or some, you know, just maybe some favorite cases that come, perhaps any specialties that you might have or favorite things that you like treating in your clinic?
I like to think of myself as a general practitioner in homeopathy. I don't have a specific specialty. I do see a lot of clients with anxiety and depression, and with that, some of them are on medication and some of them have made a conscious choice not to take medication and want to deal with it a different way. Some of the thing I find with anxiety and depression is that the consultation itself, the initial consultation with me, is an hour and a half, and that mm-hmm. is a really healing experience in itself, just having someone focus and listen to you for an hour and a half. And a lot of time people come out of that feeling like they've really been heard. So even before they have the homeopathic remedy, that made some difference. I have a lot of clients I support if they want to come off medication, particularly antidepressants. Mm-hmm. And it's a really long and slow process generally getting off an antidepressant mm-hmm. because you can get a rebound low mood or rebound anxiety. And a lot of the time, even that doctors are saying, you know, you can wean off this in 6 weeks, and it's mm-hmm. not realistic.
What are some of the reasons that some of your clients decide to come off pharmaceutical medication with the advice of their doctor, of course, but why? What are some reasons that people might not want to stay on their pharmaceutical medication?
Sometimes they just want to be able to go back to being themselves without having to take something every day. Sometimes there are side effects, and that can really vary from sexual dysfunction is one that often makes mm-hmm. people want to get off their antidepressants. But even just that their moods aren't normal, and they can feel that they're artificially positive. And sometimes it is around, you know, wanting a change in lifestyle to address the root cause. Because antidepressants don't necessarily treat the cause of the depression, but they allow you to move through it. They have a really important place mm-hmm. because they allow people to function and have a life without being sort of in an anxious ball or a depressed where they cannot function day to day. But addressing the reason behind the depression or the anxiety and getting to that means that they can live a full life.
So anxiety and depression, what sort of other cases do you see come through your clinic?
A real mixture. I have a lot of done a lot of children with variations in behavioural disorders. Actually, I have one case I'd really love to share with you today, which was an epilepsy case.
Please do.
This was a few years back. I had a man in his late 20s. He had a long, a physically demanding job with really long hours and a young family. So a lot of stress there, both with at home and with work. He'd had epilepsy for over 20 years. And he was on two different epilepsy medication, carbamazepine and lamotrigine, and also a low-dose antidepressant. He knew some of the triggers for his seizures, too much sugar and dehydration, but even with his medication, he was having 2 to 3 seizures a month. So he had complex partial seizures, which are people think of seizures, they think of people shaking, that complex partial seizures are those. He also had absence seizures, or sometimes called petit mal seizures, so where he just zoned out. It didn't appear to be there. He'd had quite a lot of knocks to the head, particularly from the seizures, and he also had a really bad memory. But one of the most striking things when I spoke to him was his slow time to process questions. So in a normal conversation, I ask a question, someone, well, they may think for a while and then they'll respond, but you can see that process. And when I asked him a question, it was like that you didn't see him process it, and it took such a long time that I wondered whether he had even heard the question. And then he would answer. And so it was every question took several minutes for him to process and answer, even if it was quite a simple question. He also had quite a lot of other effects like tiredness, and he was always tired and dozy, and he was quite aggressive. And some of that, when I looked at his medication, was a side effect of his medication, particularly the carbamazepine causes sedation and aggression. And actually, it can worsen absent seizures and shouldn't be used in mixed seizures. So there was a problem with his medication as well, and he and at that point I recommended he go back to his doctor and ask for a specialist referral to get that medication looked at. In the meantime, however, I did prescribe him a couple of remedies. The first one being plumbum. So plumbum is lead. Lead toxicity is something that has is quite well known in the Western world now. We've moved away from lead-based paints and a lot of things, but lead has that has epilepsy as part of the picture, and plumbum also has specifically that really slow processing time and the brain, the confusion and memory problems. And I also gave him a second remedy, Artemisia vulgaris, which I gave him to have as an acute remedy when he got a seizure. I saw him a month later. In that time, instead of the 2 to 3 seizures that he normally gets in a month, he had one seizure, and normally he would have that seizure and it would be that 3 nights in a row he would be in some sort of have some seizure pattern. He had one night when he started to go into a seizure, and they gave he had the Artemisia vulgaris, and that stopped the seizure. He repeated it 3 times that night, and each time it stopped it. He had disrupted sleep, but he never had a full seizure. And the other really striking thing from that follow-up that I remember was that his brain was working faster. I asked him a question and he responded straight away, which was such an amazing change. And another month later, he started to reduce medication, and he reduced it enough that it was still, he was still on those 2 epilepsy medications, but he was able to reduce it enough to have a clearer head during the day, less sedation, and less and feel more like himself, and less like he was in a fuzz. So that was a really magic thing as a homeopath to see.
Absolutely amazing. Wow, what a great story. I love that. You completely had me entranced there. Can you tell me, Barbara, you have 3 children as well. So what sort of things have you used homeopathy for in your home?
Well, lately I've had I've got an 11-year-old girl, an 8-year-old girl, and a 4-year-old boy. Lately, both my girls have managed to break a bone in their foot. My 8-year-old broke one last month jumping off something, and my 11-year-old broke something this month slipping down the steps sideways. So they've had a number of remedies for that. The Symphytum is the one for broken bones, which was amazing. When my eldest did her foot this recently, I picked her up from school and she was getting shooting pains up her leg from her foot. So the first remedy I thought of with shooting nerve pains was Hypericum. Mm-hmm. And within a couple of doses, a few minutes apart, that was gone.
Wow.
So that was a major, major difference. Interestingly, I gave her a choice of what she wanted to take, whether she wanted to have ibuprofen for pain relief or whether she wanted to use a combination of the homeopathic remedies. And she preferred the homeopathic remedies, and that's what she wanted to take to school to have when she needed. She didn't want to take the ibuprofen because she didn't find it as effective as the homeopathy.
Wow, that's amazing. It's all about empowering children as well to take responsibility for their own health. And my kids as well, I always get them to tune into their bodies and say, okay, take this remedy, tell me how you're feeling, what do you feel your body needs? Like, I know my son, whenever he has a fever, he just completely stops eating. And it's just so amazing. Yeah. So observe him, just monitor him really closely, and I'll ask him, Joshua, what do you feel your body needs right now? And he'll be like, Mommy, funny enough, he always craves kombucha. So he'll be like, Mommy, I just want kombucha. I don't want to eat anything. And then, you know, the next day, he's back to his normal self. Like, if you can teach your children to be in tune with their bodies, what works for them, what doesn't work for them, how empowering would that be, hey?
It is. And it's that magic thing as well about that time and listening to them, because you're not just saying, hey, you have a fever, take this. It's tell me more about it. Like, what is this feeling like? What does the sore throat feel like to you? And that listening is healing in itself.
Yeah, I think that's when you grow up with a homeopath as a parent. I can imagine our children will have to ask them in a few years' time, but, you know, they already know. They can't just say, I have a sore head. They have to say, you know, it's better when I lie down, or it's on my left side, or it feels like somebody's, you know, gripping my head in a vice or something like that. They know that just isn't enough. They need to give us some good
Absolutely.
Details.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like playing 20 questions, isn't it?
It is, hey.
I do have two more stories from my children that I'd like to share.
Oh, please do.
All right.
Yes, please.
And I'd like to say that I always ask my kids first if I can share stories about them on my Facebook page or with people, because even at their ages, this is their personal information. And I did ask them, and they were quite happy with me to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make that distinction first.
Mm.
So my eldest a few years ago had a boil come up on the side of her head.
Mm-hmm.
And at first she has a pre-auricular sinus, which is a small hole on her ear, which is possibly where the ear canal was supposed to form when she was a baby, and then the body abandoned that. Every now and then it gets a little inflamed, and we give some silica and that usually fixes it.
Mm-hmm.
This time it didn't, and it grew, and then So I always take my kids to the doctor, even if I'm not going to follow drug advice. A diagnosis is really helpful. And they said, yeah, it's a boil. Just watch where it is because of the side of the head. And if she, we don't want to have any systemic infection from that. And so we did all that we could to bring this boil up to a head. And it never came up, and it was quite painful for her, and she was struggling. But then what really did is she threw a fever, and as fever can be a sign that this infection is now becoming a systemic problem, and we really didn't want her to end up with on antibiotics. So we made the decision at that point to take her to the doctor, and they cut into the boil and to drain it.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, they said, here's some antibiotics. And I said, thank you. I don't want to use those. This is what I want to do and use homeopathy. And I will hold on to this. And if I need to, I'll say it. And I said, okay, well, then they're quite used to me saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are doing this at home, I always suggest when you see your doctor, you say, I don't want to use this yet. What are the things that I need to watch out for? What is the point where I need to use these antibiotics because it's becoming dangerous? And ask for help before you get to that point. Go and find a natural health practitioner if you don't want to take the antibiotics so that you know where your safety level is. Mm-hmm. So I, at that point, started giving her Pyrogen, mm-hmm. which is a lovely homeopathic remedy made from decomposed beef.
Yes.
But it's a great antibiotic yes. remedy. And I gave her gunpowder, and we used that as our natural, as our alternative to antibiotic. Mm-hmm. I also gave her some Staphysagria, which is a remedy for when people feel like they've been forced to do something there. And she didn't want to have this boil cut out, but cut into, but it was a decision that her father and I made with her doctor because of it was her safety and the consequences. So we gave those to her, and we went back to the doctor a few days later, and they couldn't believe how fast it was healing. Mm. Now, she had a camp the following week, and we were told on the Wednesday when they operated on this boil that she would not be able to go to camp. And we went back on Friday, and they went, oh, this is doing really well. And wow. By Monday, they said, yeah, that's fine. She can go to camp and she can do all the water and activities, which amazing. Was just a massive no at the beginning. So that was really amazing that we healed it so much faster than would have done so naturally and with such good effect. And I was able to inform the doctors about what I used and why.
Wow. So can I quickly add really to good. Your story before you go to your next one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember your next one, because I just want to say, so you mentioned about the mental emotional picture of Staphysagria, which is where somebody feels like they've been forced to do something, which they didn't yeah. want to. It also happens to be obviously a really good remedy for surgical cuts. So that yeah. remedy would have fit her on the mental, emotional, and physical level, which is so amazing. And I was having a little bit of deja vu when you were saying, I always say to people, go to the doctor and ask them, you know, what's sort of like the worst case scenario and at what stage do I need to take the antibiotics? Because I was like, have you heard me say this, or are we just exactly the same wavelength there? Because that is literally what I always say to my clients. Go to the doctor and ask lots of questions. Say, you know, take the scripts for the antibiotics, even go and fill the script if you want to, if that will feel safer, and ask them, what is the worst case scenario? And when you've shared your next story, I have to share you a great whitetail spider bite story that I have as well.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. Yes, please.
You go first.
Okay. Well, my next story is actually a drug story. Mm-hmm. My husband does shift work, and so he has sleeping tablets, Zopiclone, in the house. And he usually takes them when he's gone away for work. So they are tucked away in his toilet bag, which in this case was in another bag and in the drawer. But my youngest at that stage was 3, and he managed to fossick into this drawer and open this bag and open the other bag and get out the sleeping tablets and take one, which, as I'm sure it's any parent's worst nightmare, your child taking some medication that they really shouldn't. So by the time he'd taken it, it was probably about 10 to 15 minutes later, I'm guessing, based on the way it is. And we could see he was really drowsy and not himself and not talking right. And even for me as a pharmacist, it was a fairly, it was a big moment. Mm. And so the first thing I did was I rang 0800 Poisons, which is the number in New Zealand. Do you have the same in Australia?
It would probably be 000.
Yeah. So there is a registered pharmacist on the end of 0800 Poisons who has all of the information at their fingertips and can tell you what you need to do and watch out for. And what this pharmacist told me, they checked his weight and said he was borderline at the time with his weight for whether he would be okay or not okay, but if he was excessively drowsy and could not talk or walk, then we would need to go to hospital and have him monitored there for several hours until it wore off. Now, I live in Kerikeri, which in Northland, and our nearest hospital is 40 minutes away. Mm. And I looked at him, and he was not able to stand up, and he was slurring his words and not okay. So I said to my girls, go and get some warm clothes. I was going to grab some food and plan to be at the hospital for several hours, and then we would go from there. But in the meantime, I went and I grabbed some Nux Vomica and some opium, and I gave him a dose of each. So Nux Vomica, which is your remedy for drug use for often thought of for alcohol overindulgence, and opium, because opium poppy has that drowsiness, the real unable to function, and that's what I was seeing with him. And it was off the top of my head, no thought involved, but I needed to get something into him while I could grab this other stuff. And what I noticed was that within minutes he was talking again, and he got up and he started walking. And it was, I said to the kids, I think he's okay. We don't have to go to hospital, which was great, because it was nearly dinner time and everyone was getting tired and tipsy anyway. And what we really noticed was after 10 minutes or so, the opium and the Nux Vomica wore off, and he started slurring his words and walking like a really badly drunk adult and knocking into things. And I repeated the dose. And I think I repeated it every 10 to 15 minutes for 2 to 3 hours before it wore off, and he, the zolpidem completely wore off, and he was back to himself.
Amazing.
It was really awful. I'm a pharmacist. I should know not to have my child have medication. and yet it was not in the place where he should have had it, but it was also the amazing power of homeopathy, because he came right in that time, and it was almost amusing watching a 3-year-old act really, really drunk.
I love that you're sharing this so honestly, because let's face it, I know many more stories than what I would like to clients who have had their children go into their pharmaceutical medication. So it actually happens so, so, so often. You know, we think we have the cupboards locked up, but these kiddies can be so resourceful. You know, they will pull the chair up, they will climb, they will find a way, and they have no idea what it is that they're taking. And so to know that there are homeopathics that you can use alongside, it's just absolutely amazing. So, and I was just going to clarify that you meant homeopathic opium, because I'm aware that some of our listeners have no idea of homeopathy, and they're like, why is she giving her child opium? So it's the homeopathic remedy made from opium. So it's got no actual opium in it, only the energetic signature. But wow, what a great result.
Yeah, it was magic. I just don't have another word for it. And it really, every now and then you get that thing which reminds you that this is why I'm a homeopath. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And that was this. It just made such a massive difference for him, and it showed the power of homeopathy, that it could make him able to function enough that we didn't end up in a hospital room for several hours.
And that's the flip side of it, and that's my hugest message that I'm trying to get out there, is empowering mothers to use homeopathy as a first line in the home, because, you know, everything was done very safely. You were ready to go to the hospital. It was 40 minutes away. So at least you could avoid that trip in the end, because, you know, especially with COVID and everything else, I just on the way to work this morning saw a news article, and it was saying how the ambulance drivers in WA are just under so much pressure at the moment. And the medical system worldwide seems to be under so much pressure. So if us as mothers can take responsibility for our family's health by using something that's safe and effective and natural at home, we are in turn helping to relieve the pressure of those, the medical professionals, so that they can catch a look, really deal with, you know, the absolute essentials that they are needed for. So I think it's actually a very responsible thing to learn homeopathy to also then, you know, take charge of your family's health, and then, you know, go to the doctor when it's absolutely necessary. But I have to share my whitetail spider story with you, because
please do.
Nicely. We were living in Tauranga at the time, and this was about 7 years ago. I woke up one morning and my son's ear was, I swear, like it feels like it was 10 times the size. He looked like Dumbo. His ear was so red and so huge. And I also just want to
make that distinction that my children have also given me permission to speak about their cases. I always check with them first. And that's also teaches them about life. Like, you know, they need to stand up for their own bodies and their own privacy. So I always check with them as well. So this story is in my little online course that I do, because his ear was massive. So you can probably imagine that with this huge, big, throbbing ear. I gave him Apis because I assumed that it was a red-tailed spider bite. I could see two little indents in his, like his ear was so swollen, and then you saw these two little tiny indents. And I thought it must be spider bite. So tried Apis, several doses, didn't do anything. And then I thought, okay, well, I'll try Leadum. A few doses, didn't do anything. And so I thought, okay, time to be responsible, go to the doctor. Took him to the doctor in Tauranga, and he said, it's probably a white-tailed spider bite. I can give you an antihistamine and an antibiotic. And I said, great, thank you very much. Took the script. I didn't fill it because in Tauranga we have there was a lovely homeopathic pharmacy. I'm assuming they're still there, called Celine Homeopathics. And they were on my way home. So I drove past there. I got the remedy that's made from the white-tailed spider. Gave him
Lampona cilindrata.
Yes, maybe gave him three, maybe four doses, but within, you know, an hour or two, his ear was back. So, you know, that was just so powerful and so amazing. And that's why I always say, go to the doctor if you are feeling out of your depth, or go and seek some professional help. But you've got the homeopathics there as a backup. And if it's not doing the job, go get some help.
Yeah, absolutely. The Lampona cilindrata is a great remedy for the white-tailed spider bite. It's things that are going sort of that necrotic, that really horrible infective. I just wanted to touch on something you said there, is that you tried Apis and gave a few doses, and then you tried Leadum. And I sometimes find mothers particularly get really worried about, if I use the remedy and it's the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to give the wrong thing. My kids wake me in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they've got something happen, and I don't necessarily have the capacity to put my proper homeopath hat on and think, is this the right remedy? And so I do exactly that. You pick a remedy that looks like it's fairly good and you try it. And if it doesn't work, you try something else. And as long as you are not beating that remedy and repeating it over and over and over and over and over again, it's going to be okay. I always say, if you haven't had any change in anything, which means their mood or what's physically wrong with them after three or four doses, then it's not the right remedy in trying to change. But that trying it two or three times is not going to hurt them.
Absolutely. That's what I always say as well. I think a lot of mums, when they start out using homeopathy, thinks, oh, I've given one dose, it hasn't fixed it. If I had a dollar every time I heard this, I would be a millionaire. But mums say, oh, I tried homeopathy, but it didn't work. And my first question is always, how many doses did you give? And they'll say, oh, I gave a dose, it didn't do anything. And I'm like, well, if your child is in, you know, has got acute, very intense, you're probably going to have to give about 4 to 6 doses before you're really going to start seeing a difference. So, yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah. And the other thing is, especially with fever, is that it doesn't you give a remedy a few times and the fever isn't necessarily going to go down, but suddenly that child's not cooped up on the couch lying and being miserable. They're off playing with their brother or sister and they're happy again. So while their fever is still high, they're feeling better in themselves, and that is a win, and that's what you want, because that fever there is there for a physiological reason. And so we want it to do its job, which is trying to fight that virus or bacteria or whatever it is that has been triggered by it. So, but as long as they're feeling better and able to play and interact with their families, then that's what you want.
Oh my gosh, you have to. Once again, why I love speaking with other homeopaths, because I couldn't agree with you more. Like, so often you will see that you'll give the belladonna and you'll think, oh, the fever's not coming down. But actually the body is going to prioritize what it needs to get you better. And at that stage, while you're giving the belladonna, the body will need that fever to be able to burn off the pathogens or whatever, but you will see the mental, emotional state of the person improving. And that is a sign that you're heading in the right direction. And shortly after that, you know, the fever might go, but you'll often see the mental, emotional symptoms improving before the physicals.
Yeah, and that works just as well for your chronic cases. And and I had a client who has had a long-term depression problems recently, who last time I talked to her said, I'm really struggling because my skin is so bad. I said, yeah, but you're coping so much better with everything life. Everything else is going so much better for you, and we're wanting to heal from the inside out and from the top down. And so the fact that you're feeling better mentally and inside, the skin is your outermost layer. So we want things pushed out. We want it's frustrating because that's what everybody else sees, but that's you being healthier inside.
Absolutely. Far out. I am sure that we could cover at least another, 5 to 10 hours of sharing fabulous homeopathic success stories and everything else in between. But I wonder, just before we wrap up, can you tell me what are your top three homeopathic remedies for you personally?
Okay. Well, I'm a pulsatilla child. I was always a pulsatilla child. So for those of you who are new to homeopathy, pulsatilla is your weepy remedy. Always on the edge of tears, but not only that, they're changeable. So the moods can change, but everything else can change, from symptoms that come and go and bowel motions that change, and everything that's changeable is pulsatilla's thing. And I grew up as a pulsatilla child, and honestly, I'm still at times need a bit of pulsatilla for me, and I use it with my family as well, and I love that. It's also your thick bland discharges and your conjunctivitis, it's a great polycrest remedy that goes through everything. So that would have to be a favourite. I really love some of the metrodonal remedies. So those are ones made from things to do with motherhood. And I find Lacumanum, which is made from human breast milk, an amazing remedy.
It is amazing.
And I've used it with clients for so many things. I've used it for children who are weaning and their mother wanted some support for them. I've used it as for its antiviral effect for things from herpes to so cold sores to molluscum contagiosum. I've used it for mental and emotional connection issues where they're feeling unloved or forsaken or really anxious. It's just such an amazing, amazing remedy.
Also really good for vertigo, hey?
I've never used it for vertigo.
I love how they say human breast milk is what brings our soul into our body. And so often you find with people who need this remedy, they can feel quite dizzy. It's almost like their soul and their body is not integrated. And I've actually found this remedy has been really good for people with issues with vertigo when they just kind of feel out of their body, and to just help them bring back in their body.
Ah, that's really good to know.
Well, you've just taught me something, because I've never known it to be useful. Because I swear we have an epidemic of molluscum in Perth, and I've used the molluscum nozode and carcinosin has been really good, but I'm going to try Lacumanum, so thank you for that.
You're very welcome. and thirdly, I kind of would have to say Pyrogen, because it is like my antibiotic, if you like the better for lack of a better term. And I see prescriptions for antibiotics every day I work in the pharmacy, so many of them. And there is such a flow-on effect from antibiotics with the gut health, which then does affect things like causing things like thrush, but also mental and emotional effects that we see when people have had so many repeated courses of antibiotics. And so I like having Pyrogen, which I usually use in combination with other remedies, but I like having that as an option when I have a client with an abscess, and if we've got to the point where, we're using remedies to bring it up, so sometimes you need a little bit more than your silica or your HEPA self to bring that abscess out. I've just found it absolutely so effective for an infection. So it would have to be a favourite.
Yeah, I was mind blown once when I found out that actually 80% of our serotonin is actually made in our gut and only 20% in our brain. And then if you think of, you know, this incredible overuse of antibiotics and the effect that that has, you know, on our gut-brain connection, and then you're wondering why all these people are walking around with depression when, you know, if we can just heal your gut and fix your gut, then, you know, it's gonna, your serotonin is going to be produced better and your mood's probably going to lift. So, yeah, very interesting. Yeah. So, Barbara, where can people get hold of you? Tell us all the different places. I've had a great read on. Thank you. It's been very, very helpful to read. But you've got a few different places people can get hold of you. So how do they do that? And also, do you just see them at your clinic in Kerikeri, or do you do worldwide online consults?
I have my clinic at Kerikeri, but I do actually more consults online than I do in person. Mm-hmm. And I do see people all over the world. If you're on Facebook, you can find me at Homeopath Barbara. And I, like I said, I have a blog where I talk about not only homeopathy, and I talk about a lot of other things. And lately I've been talking about consent and a lot about other issues that are quite topical. I also have a website, which is homeopathbarbara.com. That's, you can email me, barbara@homeopathbarbara.co.nz, get hold of me that way.
Wonderful. Is there any final messages or anything else that you want to leave us with, or that you wanted to say? I just want to make sure that we don't leave here and there was something else that you wanted to mention.
I think that covers it. Like we both said, is, you know, if you are unsure, go and get a diagnosis from a doctor. They are diagnostic experts. But if you're not sure if it even needs to see a doctor and you want another medical opinion, then go and see a pharmacist. Because in New Zealand and Australia, your pharmacist, you can walk into a pharmacy and speak to a health professional without any appointment, without a cost, and get an opinion. And they are, we are quite good at triaging and saying, you know, giving you an opinion on what it is and whether you need to see a doctor or whether you can do something. And I'm often seeing people in the pharmacy with wounds or things, and I'll tell them what they need to watch out for and give them some recommendations. So a pharmacy is a really good option if you are not sure enough that you need to go to the doctor, but you want another opinion. Have your homeopath on speed dial.
Absolutely. Two or three heads are always better than one.
Yeah.
Barbara, thank you so much for your time. It's been wonderful speaking with you, and I look forward to us being in touch in the future.
Thank you, Eugenie. I've really loved it, and I'm sure we could talk for many more hours.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Cool. Okay. Bye-bye.